This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Now, wet the whistle a little bit.
6:30.
A little taste.
6:30.
This is why he wanted to do it, Canty.
That's not why I wanted to do it.
Does he do it when we have Candy Canty? No, he doesn't wet the whistle. Doesn't say a word. So all of a sudden, boom, it's Candy Canty.
Forget it.
It just sprays it on the listeners, yeah.
Yeah, Stump Rothenberg Day. You know what we'll do to open up the 6 o'clock hour? Let's break down when everyone can have their Stump Rothenberg that they all want.
I was told it's a segment that sweeps the country and we should incorporate it into the show.
You do a little bit extra in terms of teeing up your feature as opposed to the features that Rick and I do.
Big 6:30 segment today.
This is DCR.
Hopefully they're all great questions, and if they're not, we'll mock you. That's really what I'd like to do.
Bernie Casey is known for a bit. This is Rick, can you come to my defense here? That was a terrible question, no?
It's a brutal question, yeah.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Maybe tomorrow we'll do an observation. Stay tuned and find out. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Let's bring him in. He's become, I mean, listen, 3 weeks, 2 appearances. Damian Woody joins the show. I know why also, Rick. I know why you have Damian joining us week in and week out. He's an Islanders fan. So you want to team up against me and Chris with the Islanders conversation. I see where you guys are at.
It's not fair to go 2-on-1. I got to add my guy D Wooden to the mix. Come on now.
That's the reason you love doing the show, Damian, isn't it? Cuz you get your former Islander here for you.
Listen, man, 2 is better than 1. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I see the way you guys
that's my guy. That's my guy Rick right there. But we'll get into more Islanders talk when we have a little time to really air it out.
All right, let's get into the NFL. So we've had the conversation earlier in the show, and of course we want to ask you about the games coming up this weekend and Mahomes and the greatness of Brady and all that stuff, but we kind of threw this out there earlier on in the show. In your mind, is Phillip Rivers an absolute Hall of Famer, Damian?
I think he's going to get into a Hall of Fame. I know a lot is being made of, you know, the fact that, you know, he's never won a championship, never even been to a Super Bowl. And you know, I think it's you know, right criticism, because when you're talking about the Hall of Fame, it's not the Hall of Very Good; it's the Hall of the Elite of the Elite. And when you get to that high level, you know, it's the little things that kind of separate you from the rest. I just look at Phillip Rivers over, you know, what was it, 14 years or whatever it was, 14, 15 years, and the body of work that Phillip Rivers put in and the numbers, to me, suggests that he should be in the Hall of Fame, regardless of the fact that he never even appeared in the Super Bowl.
That's amazing to me, though, Damian. And I played in the NHL, and I just see the size of Chris Canty. I was on a softball field with him and watching him at 6'8", 330 run scared the hell out of me, so I could only imagine being a quarterback. But, I mean, the fact that the dude played 240 consecutive NFL football games, I mean, how much do you bake into the equation that?
Well, listen, when, you know, Coach Belichick, he always said that the most important thing is being available. You know, so if you're available, that's, you know, that's huge to me. And I just bring up one point with Phillip Rivers. I remember Phillip Rivers playing in the AFC Championship game in Foxborough. I was at that game. Wasn't playing. I was at the game, and he was playing on the torn ACL.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what you call an Iron Man, playing on a torn ACL with an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. So that just shows you the toughness that Phillip Rivers had and willing to lay it on the line for his teammates.
Damian, going from past quarterbacks to present quarterbacks, that situation in Houston, how surprised are you that it devolved to the point where Watson wants out, and where do you think he ultimately lands?
I mean, Chris, you know this as well as I do. It is so hard to find a quarterback, let alone a superstar quarterback at 25 that really hasn't hit his prime yet. And he wants out. I know that we've only heard like 10% of what's going on in Houston. We don't even know, like, there's probably a lot of other stuff that's happening behind the scenes that we have no clue about. And so I'm just shocked that the Houston Texans organization let it get to this point. Deshaun Watson is a guy that's a superstar in that game, you know, an ambassador of our game, very charitable. So, listen, spinning it forward, if this thing happens to go down, you had to think of a couple teams that be able to satisfy, you know, this whole situation, this trade scenario. You've got to have draft equity. You've got to have cap space. You know, the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets come to mind immediately when you think of those two things that would satisfy the Houston Texans.
Damian Woody with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Damian, I want to get to the games this Sunday, but I want to quickly ask you, if you're the Jets and he becomes available, I mean, are you all in? I mean, do you offer everything not nailed down at Florham Park to try to get this guy?
Well, listen, if I'm the Jets, I'm doing everything possible to try to solve the quarterback situation. Guys, 25-year-old superstar quarterbacks, they don't just grow on trees. It is so hard to find a quarterback, and if you have an opportunity to solve that position, because listen, when you solve the quarterback position, it helps cover up other things on your roster. So the Jets have a lot of assets, you know, over the next 2 years and a lot of cash space. So they can give up some compensation and use the cap space to fill out additional holes in their roster. So if I'm the Jets, I'm going in.
Damian Woody joins us here in the show. From your lips to God's ears, Damian. I'd love to get Deshaun Watson here. As far as the AFC Championship game is concerned, it seems like, you know, Pat Mahomes is making his way through the protocols. Feels like he's going to play. Matchup I think we all wanted to see. Mahomes, Josh Allen. It didn't feel like Cleveland was ever going to stop Kansas City until Mahomes got hurt. Any concern with this Buffalo Bills defense? It's been bend, don't break, but, I mean, with Pat Mahomes back, it feels like, you know, Kansas City was able to flip that switch.
Well, yeah, listen, that Buffalo Bills defense actually did a pretty good job against the Chiefs in Week 6. You know, the Chiefs basically forced the Chiefs to go heavy run. Now, the Chiefs ran for 245 yards against them because they didn't want Pat Mahomes to go off. So they got to, you know, make sure they buckle down on that. But this Buffalo Bills defense has played a lot better down the stretch. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting matchup because both sides got a lot of firepower.
Damian, now you are an offensive lineman. I'm a defensive lineman. So by nature, we can be adversarial. But one of the things I think we can agree on is that this weekend up in Lambeau Field, it's going to come down to the offensive line and the defensive line for the Bucs and the Packers. And I just want to know, when Aaron Rodgers has the ball, which group has the edge, that defensive line for Tampa or that offensive line for Green Bay?
I think it's the offensive line for Green Bay. You know, Chris, the last time they met, that Todd Bowles defense really got after Aaron Rodgers. Forced two interceptions. I think they had like four sacks. I mean, they really got after him. I think, but the difference this time around is that the Packers' running game has evolved. We know that they have three stable running backs. I think over the last six games, they've averaged 160 yards rushing per game. So that's a different animal that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to have to deal with, a more balanced Green Bay Packers offense.
Damian Woody with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Damian, I want to go back to the other game. I don't know if I've ever seen a team just abandon the run, just admit at the start of a game, we can't run the football, we're not even going to attempt to do that, and throw it all over the place like Buffalo did against Baltimore. I mean, can you realistically win a championship game against Kansas City if you have no semblance of a run game at all if you're the Bills?
Well, listen, I think it just shows you the confidence they had in Josh Allen. You know, he's elevated himself into superstar status this year, and they just have a lot of confidence in his ability to go out there and make the plays necessary to win football games. But listen, it's championship week. This is your opportunity to get to a Super Bowl. You're going to do whatever you got to do. And listen, Josh Allen is one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the National Football League, so I think they'll use some design runs using him to kind of supplement the running game. But make no mistake about it, the Bills are going to go as far as Josh Allen and his right arm.
Damian Woody joins us here in the show. Last one from me. I mean, how impressed are you with what Tom Brady has been able to do with this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team?
You know, I was thinking about this last night, that here it is, a 43-year-old quarterback. 43. We haven't seen anything like this. Guy throws for over 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. I mean, think about that. Over 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns at the age of 43. I mean, when I watch Tom Brady, his arm still looks live. Doesn't look like it's like gone into hibernation late in the season. He's still able to get that ball out of there pretty quick. And, so you got to give a lot of credit to Tom Brady and his work ethic, his team of people that helps him stay in the type of shape that he's in all year round. And he's beating back Father Time right now.
Damian, whose legacy is this championship game more important to? I know Tom Brady is the GOAT, and there's really no place for him to fall, but a lot of people have the question of who's more responsible for what happened in New England, him or Belichick. Is it Tom Brady? Is it more important for him to get to the Super Bowl, or is it more important for Aaron Rodgers to get there?
For me, it's Aaron Rodgers, because I've always said that Aaron Rodgers is the most talented passer of the football of this generation. I know we got Pat Mahomes, who's new to the mix, but I think most people agree that Aaron Rodgers is just a tremendous passer of the football. And the fact that, you know, he's got one championship over this illustrious career, and he's more than likely going to win the NFL MVP. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't get to the Super Bowl, you know, you're sitting here scratching your head like, man, you got all of these accolades. You know, you maybe the most talented quarterback we've seen in quite some time, but you only got one chip on your resume right now. It gives you a little pause.
Damian, we appreciate it. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you soon. And Islanders Devils tonight. So enjoy that one as well.
All right, take it easy, guys.
All right, good stuff. Damian Woody, NFL analyst, Islanders fan as well. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, he's smart. Let's go. I mean, Islanders fan, also NFL analyst on Get Up.
Yes. So the Islanders fan is the first thing you say with Damian?
Yeah, then I would go Super Bowl champion second.
So Islanders fan, Super Bowl champion, NFL analyst.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who may or may not do Get Up from a hotel lobby, it looks like.
Stop it.
Hey, if you're a hotel lobby.
You got a crib the size of a hotel.
He thinks humongous.
You know what I mean? He's got a lot of children, though.
He's got a lot of shows. He's got a lot of rooms, too.
Yeah, he's trying to compete with Phillip Rivers, ain't he?
That's right.
Yeah.
There to battle. What is he, at 5'6"? He's got a lot of kids.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. No, I think Damian's got eight. I want to say eight.
No.
I think he's got eight
kids, he's got
kids,
a bunch
Damian.
Of kids, Dave. I don't
he
know exactly.
Eight?
We
got to
ask him the next time he comes
eight.
On the show.
How does he have time for anything?
I'm almost positive he's got eight.
Eight?
Yes, eight.
That's a lot of children.
Eight is enough.
What do you mean, Dave? You said, oh, they're all a blessing. I wish I had more.
I don't wish I had eight.
How do
so
you know?
You didn't mean what you said.
Well, I wish I had more than two, but I'm glad I don't have eight.
No, but you actually went on to say you never regret having more children. You
and
said
I'm
that.
Sure Damian doesn't, and I'm sure Phillip Rivers doesn't, but I would regret having eight. Eight would be insane. Can't imagine that.
I can't imagine what the grocery bill would be.
It must be $500 a week.
Oh, it's got to be north of that, Dave. It's got to be north of that.
$750 a week?
It could be a stack a week.
$1,000 a week.
It
groceries?
Could be a stack a week.
Oh, easy.
Think about it. 10 people.
Easy.
10 people, Dave.
Especially if you're going Whole Foods. If you're shopping at Whole Foods.
That's right. If you're organic.
Oh, that's the
it.
Only. That's the only grocery store in Alpine. Whole Foods.
Oh, he's living in Alpine. Oh, he's easy thousand. Easy.
Yeah, easy.
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 Not even
a
question.
A lot of children. All right, CBS.
You can handle it. You can handle it.
Are you crazy? Are you? You say I could handle three, maybe four, eight. I wouldn't remember the names of eight children, Rick. I'd be like, hey, you with the brown hair over here. Aminu hey, Muhammad, you. Baby. That's right. Eight.
Yeah, it'd be a lot.
We could go to the mall. I could lose a child. Be like, all right, well, we still have seven. It's fine.
You remember
know his
K
name
plus,
anyway.
You remember the TV show K Plus Eight?
Yeah, was that Kate Gosselin?
Yeah, they had the big giant sprinter van and everything. That's crazy.
Eight kids, man. You got a starting five and three off the bench.
Now they had them at once, also, right?
At once.
Oh God!
Imagine trying to potty train eight at the same. No,
no. I'd be in an asylum.
It'd be a messy house.
Yeah, it'd be awful.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
David Quinn joining us at 7:30, like 7:33, right in that area. Our favorite head coach, although the new head coach of the Jets is on the K Show at 4 o'clock today, and then Joe Douglas at 5 o'clock. So We know Rick is very excited about that. He'll probably make fun of me for teasing ahead, but this is what I'm told I have to do, Rick.
No, this is exactly what you have to do. You drive the show. I'm just glad you guys didn't come at me after that question I asked poor Wood. It's awful.
What embarrassed. Question? Well, I'm not like
my
that.
Second
like,
question
when I
was
ask a question you don't like, you savagely attack me. If you ask a question that's not great, I let it go by. I don't want to draw attention to it.
What was so embarrassing about it?
I somehow tried to morph because I had two questions, but I didn't know how long we'd have them, so I somehow tried to morph two questions into one question. And then I got lost asking the question.
That's the worst. You ever ask a question, and as you're mid-question, you have no idea what you're saying?
And you're hoping that the guest just jumps in and saves you?
Like, you lose your train of thought, and you have no idea what you're saying?
Well, no, but I had, like, I wanted it to be, like, just simple. Like, are you surprised how good Kansas City looked? Like, something like that, like, along those lines? Because, I mean, their offense looked unstoppable until Pat Mahomes got hurt.
They did, yep.
But I also wanted to ask about Buffalo's defense, so I somehow morphed the question into one question.
Well, in the future, just go with the two-parter. Part one, this. Part two, this. And then...
But if he asks part one, he's worried he might forget part two.
Exactly. And I understand that.
Yeah.
I totally understand that. All right. So last night we got to see Brooklyn, and, you know, it kind of was everything we thought it could be. It had offensive fireworks. It had each guy having a moment where you're like, God, he's so great offensively. And it had the big question, which is, what are they defensively? So I think you have the same questions heading out of last night's game that you had heading into last night's game.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, the biggest question for them is, you know, first of all, getting comfortable with each other. Like, and that's going to take time. And then, I mean, I think we all know it's going to be defensively. Can they get stops? And they couldn't. Cleveland is not. I try to give them credit early in the show, and Canty corrected. I know they're not a good offensive team.
They're
not at all.
They're not.
But Sexton had the game of his life.
Sexton played really well. But here's the thing, man. I think a lot of guys are going to play really well just because Brooklyn hasn't figured that part of it out. I mean, if you're in the NBA, you've got some talent. And if the other team doesn't play defense, you're going to have a chance to knock down open shots. And last night, that's all Cleveland was doing. They shot 51% from the field and 50% from three-point land. And it wasn't like they only shot a couple of threes, Dave. They shot 40 threes and made 20 of them.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, you say they haven't figured it out. They haven't figured it out, or they're not going to be capable of playing good defense?
I think they're going to be capable of playing adequate defense. Will it be good defense? Probably not. But you just need to be adequate just because of how good they are on the offensive end. Now, on the offensive side, they got to clean up the turnovers so as to not put more pressure on their defense. But, I mean, defensively, I think that has a lot to do with buy-in and just the commitment level of all of those guys that are in the court on the same time. Because it's hard to play really good defense. It takes a lot of effort. So as their conditioning gets ramped up and all of those things, and as they get more games under their belt, like we're going to have to see this team at some point make a commitment to playing good defense.
I think the strength of this team is going to be the offense, right? We all get that. Yeah. We all understand that. So I think the goal last night was to placate to Kyrie, make him feel like he's a part of it, because you need him to buy in, right? That's the biggest thing. Make sure that Kyrie can buy in, because, I mean, he's going to be a part of this, like it or not. And then the second thing is, you know, if the strength is going to be the offense, like, let's work out the kinks. Like, let's make that as good as it can be, as humanly possible, because we know we'll struggle a little bit on the defense. But I would imagine with the three roster spots open that those will be things that defense size will be something that they address. But, I mean, as a Net fan, you're going to have to be – you'll get frustrated. I guarantee you'll get frustrated with some of the defense. But I think by the time the regular season is over, you'll see a better version. It won't be great defensive team, but it'll be like Chris said, you got to be adequate. The concern would be all of a sudden in the playoffs, though, when you're playing the same team in a series, they can expose all those weaknesses.
Yeah, but nobody can stop them. Nobody can stop them. Like, I don't care how good your team is defensively, you just can't stop them because you can't double team one guy. They got three guys, so those guys are going to get more one-on-one coverage than they've probably ever seen in their career. And they're going to take advantage of it. So they're capable of applying a lot of pressure on teams when they got the ball. It's just a matter of minimizing how much pressure the opposing teams put on them when they got to play defense.
I just don't know how you hide two players on defense.
At the same time?
At the same time.
With Jeff Green as an undersized center, you can't do it.
You can.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Let's be fair, guys. We'll hear from Kyrie Irving in a second. DeAndre Jordan as a starting center is questionable. Jeff Green getting 40 minutes a game? No way should that be happening.
I think DeAndre Jordan is good for 20 to 25 minutes. I think he's good. You saw that a little bit in the first half. But you're going to need another big. And then on top of that, you're going to have to figure out how you're going to stagger the minutes for James Harden and Kyrie, because those are the two guys that we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Kevin Durant defensively is outstanding.
You don't have to worry about him. I don't think you have to worry about Durant at all.
Yes.
Right? And not even a little
bit.
The
only thing I worry about with Durant is him staying healthy.
Yeah, that's the one thing. But so far, he looks good. Excited to share the floor with these two guys, with KD and Harden.
Man, always playing the game that I love. I'm grateful. So I never take it for granted. And then also to be, you know, playing with Kevin Durant, James Harden, just those names alone right now, we're having some fun, but it's not just about us. And I always say that, you know, we'll have good nights, we'll have great nights, but it's how we galvanize this group together and how we sacrifice and compromise for the greater good, you know, and that still remains to be seen. Obviously, one game's out the way, but I'm excited for what's to come.
That soundbite there.
Yeah, but Dave, that soundbite is why, as good as he is, I have such a hard time liking Kyrie Irving. Like, Kyrie Irving is that guy, and Chris, I'm sure you play with guys in that locker room, that stands up and he'll give you like this like impassioned speech and how he wants to be the leader, but he doesn't make the commitment, like the actual commitment it takes to be the leader.
And like, if he's not getting his numbers, he's going pout.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Like the front runner. Like, when everything's great, he's rah-rah, he's the best leader. He has a bad night, he's got a big pout on his face, he's not participating in anything. He doesn't show, like, he's not the same guy every single day. And in order to be a leader, regardless of what's going on in your life and everything else, those guys are the same guys every single day. They show up, they choose to be the same person because they know that the rest of it, because the team, his teammates are relying on him to be that guy every single day.
919-3776. For me, this is the one team, and we'll open it up to you guys, that is the most intriguing. Because I know the Lakers are going to be great. I don't worry about the Lakers. They're going to probably be in the NBA Finals or at least Western Conference Finals. I think the Nets, to me, are the team with the biggest upside. And if it doesn't, if they don't reach where we think they need to get to, like if they don't get to the NBA Finals, they're going to be destroyed, and rightfully so, because there's no team in the Eastern Conference that has three guys like this.
Well, Dave, the only people that can stop them from getting to the NBA Finals are the Brooklyn Nets. It's not a talent issue. It's just a matter of can they make all of the pieces work. And going back to the point that Rick was making about Kyrie trying to assert himself as a leader amongst this group, like the one thing that's going to put a lot of pressure on him is that you got two guys that are walking it like they talk it. Because James Harden has shown in this small sample size, he's willing to do whatever it takes to take on whatever role he has to in order for this thing to have success. And we see how KD has come back. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Kyrie to make this work. And if he's going to be a leader, then he's going to have to commit the same way the other two guys are committing. Otherwise, everybody on that team is going to know he's a fraud.
Yeah, I don't believe when he says, I love basketball.
It's hard to believe.
Love basketball. The other two guys love basketball.
Exactly right.
James Harden and KD, they love basketball.
So, I mean, it's the sexiest. It's almost like sometimes we get caught up, like when we're doing this show, right? Like, we're bouncing back and forth what we should talk about. And it's like, if a team is really, really good, they become almost boring to talk about. Like, what are we going to talk about? Like, this team is just that everything is fine.
Right. Oh, we ain't got to worry about that here. Flaws. We ain't got to worry about that here with the Nets.
No, but I mean, when you talk like the Lakers, listen, what are you going to talk about with the Lakers? There's not much to talk about.
No, because they're great. You know they're going to be there at the end.
Yeah, the Nets have the sexiest storylines right now.
I think so. Let's go to Mo and Rahway. Mo, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, DCR. Hey, it's Mel, by the way.
But, Mel?
I like to talk.
This is the second time this week that RJ has butchered the person's name, but that's okay. It's new for all of us. Go ahead, Mel.
All right. So, yeah, I'd like to talk about the Nets real quick. The last game that James Harden was in Houston, he said he don't feel like they have enough pieces to win. So he come to the Nets, which is a better team. And I know Mike D'Antoni isn't the head coach, but I still know, like, it's his system, his players, even with Steve Nash in them there. So, and the last few years, they've been losing to the champions when they lost to Golden State and they lost to L.A., so now that they got more pieces, they got the same system. And they was trying to do the small ball in Houston. But now, you know, they got a few more bigger pieces than they had in Houston. So I don't see it being a problem. And I see it's all going to come together eventually.
Yeah, but Mo, listen to what you just said.
Mel.
It's Mel.
No, it's Mel. Mo Mel. It's yeah, Mel Mo.
Mel Mo.
Mel, listen. I mean, and I get you're a Nets fan. But listen to what you just said. They get to a point where they lose to the eventual champion. So as a Nets fan, are you going to be happy with that? That we get to the finals lose, or we get to the – I mean, what are you looking for, to win a championship or just
that's
to –
that's without KD and Kyrie. Like, last night you could see that it was so much space open that Kyrie had more mid-range shots. And I know James Harden, he didn't have the best first half, but that was just the first game, man. It definitely going to get together, bro. All those assists are going to rack up because, like you know, nobody could double-team anybody and there's going to be a bunch of open shots for everyone.
Mel, I don't think any of us worry about what they'll become offensively. I don't think that's a concern. I think the concern is, are they focused and what are they defensively?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
David Quinn, head coach of the New York Rangers. Coach, appreciate a couple minutes. Thanks as always.
No problem. Good morning, guys.
Good morning to you. So, I mean, the opener last week, I'm sure you were miserable over. Game two, I'm sure you were thrilled over. And game three, kind of some ups and downs. Give us your assessment through three games of where your team is at right now.
Well, you know, yesterday in our meeting, we talked about, you know, in a short period of time, we've learned a couple things. One, when we have a stinker, we've shown some mental toughness and some resiliency to come back and push past it. When we play really well, we seem like we didn't handle it as well. We kind of lost our way a little bit in that game against the Devils, in particular in the first period, where I thought we were really inept. It was just, you know, some of the same stuff we saw in the first night, and I thought we were much better in the second and third period. So a little bit of mixed bag in the first three games, and if we're going to achieve what we think we're capable of achieving, we've just got to be a lot more consistent. And you know, you just can't have the starts that we've had. You just can't. You got to come out of the gate a little bit more, a lot more prepared, and like we did the second night against the Islanders.
I knew you were gonna say that before I asked my question. I knew you were gonna do it. Quinny, so the game against the Devils, you had 50 shots. Blackwood played great. One of my big takeaways are you happy right now with where the power play is at? Because it looked pretty damn good.
Our power play was really good, and even the second game against them, I think we were 1-for-8, but boy, we had some great looks too. So, you know, we got to go late against them to go 1-for-8, but, you know, leading into it, I thought there were a lot of good things going on our power play. So, you know, we feel good about both our special teams. You know, I think, you know, unfortunately against the Islands, the very first goal they scored was off Fox's skate and right to Lee in the slot, and it goes in. So, you know, it's a bounce, and that's going to happen. But I like the direction of both our special teams. You know, I think our penalty kill has been good, and I think it's just going to continue to improve because we've got a bunch of guys that haven't done, you know, we got Buchnevich and Kreider killing who have never killed before, and they're doing a good job, and they're only going to continue to get better.
Coach, and speaking of Bucci, I mean, 4 points in three games this season, and going back to last year, 25 points in 24 games. Talk about the start that he's getting out to and how far he's come as a player.
Yeah, Chris, he's in better shape from the get-go. You know, he's been a slow starter, and, you know, I give him some credit for, you know, coming back in better shape, being ready to go, realizing the situation we're in where things are going to happen fast, and we don't have time for him to take 2 months to get his game in order. So, just the evolution of him as a player and a person, and, you know, I think it's just, it happens. You know, guys get better, guys grow up. I think he learned what he was going to have to do to have success in this league day in and day out. You know, he's coachable, he's you know, he's fun to be around. I know sometimes his facial expressions may not say that, but, you know, he's got a great wit about him. And, you know, he's just been, you know, it's been fun to watch him grow over these last 2 years because he's, again, he's come a long way. And I think it's usually the natural evolution of a player, but sometimes guys don't get it. Sometimes they're thick-headed and they don't want to understand what it's going to take, and they're going to have to change to have success at this level. And that's what he's done. He realizes you can't stay the same. You got to keep improving. You got to change and adapt your game, and he's certainly done it. And, you know, the way he's competing, trying to play in all three zones, he's just playing with much better intentions. You know, it's not all about the points, and we all want him to get points. Nobody, as I tell all these guys, I'd love you all to get 50 and 100 every year, but, you know, it's a hard league, and you got to do other things in order to put yourself in a position to do those things if you got the talent to be that productive offensively.
The head coach of the New York Rangers, David Quinn, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. I'll just ask you, what's going on with Tony DeAngelo? Where are we with him right now?
Yeah, it was obviously, you know, an unnecessary penalty, and Tony's going to be back in the lineup tomorrow. And, you know, when you win the way we did, it was going to be hard to look a defenseman in the eye and take him out the way we played against the Islanders. It certainly wasn't the plan to have it be a two-game situation. And I told him that, and he's back in, and you know, it's not always a smooth ride. Sometimes it's a bumpy road, and, you know, Tony's been a big part of what we've got going on here, and he's going to continue to be a big part of what we've got going on here. But, you know, we just can't have those type of penalties, and he understands that, and he'll be back in the lineup and play the way he usually does.
Coach David Quinn joins us here in the show. Coach, and you know I love this guy. I play with him on the island. What's going on with Stromer right now? I mean, what have you seen from him in the first couple games? Is he getting close, or is this something that's going to need to be addressed?
Yeah, I think he's just got a lot going on in his head. I think he really, you know, as we've all touched on, there's opportunity here to kind of assume more of a leadership role from that age group, you know, our guys that are in their mid-20s here. And he certainly wants to do that. And I honestly believe he's just putting too much pressure on himself. He's got way too much going on in his head. You know, we had a long conversation yesterday, and sometimes the simplicity of this game can get lost on people. And, you know, it's so easy in a lot of ways that it's hard. And, you know, he's just got to dial in about doing the fundamental things that this game demands. And he's such an instinctive player, and right now he's not. He's overthinking things, like he's got to do too much. And he's got a carnival going on in his head right now. We've got to get rid of that. And he's got to simplify things. And, you know, I think he's in a good spot today. I saw the frustration on him yesterday. And, you know, we talked for about a half hour yesterday after practice. And, you know, hopefully he got some stuff off his chest and talked through some things. And I think we'll see the old Ryan Strome here on Friday night.
Coach, going back to that game the other night against the Devils, there was a sequence in there in the second period where Brandon Lemieux was just throwing his body around. I mean, he blocks a shot by P.K. Subban. It hits him in the leg. He can barely skate. He's crawling on the ice. And then he lays out to block another shot. What does it mean to you when you see your players commit like that on the defensive end?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to sacrifice yourself like that, and that's the things we've talked about, sacrificing commitment, you know, and you got to embrace the grind. That's kind of been our motto so far, and it's going to be our motto throughout the season, and that's certainly a great example of it. I mean, it's no fun standing in the way of a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot, that's for sure. And he didn't do it once, he did it twice. And, you know, those are things we're going to need. You know, we think we've got enough skill and talent to be productive offensively, but these things that this game demands, night in, night out, shift in and shift out, you got to do. And if you do it and you got some talent, you got a chance. And, you know, that becomes infectious. You know, when a guy does that, you could, our bench was going crazy. There was a lot of enthusiasm about it. And it's a great example of sacrifice and commitment. And that's what, you know, Lemieux gives us.
Rangers head coach David Quinn joining us here on DCR on 98.7 ESPN. Zibanejad just kind of casually skating the other night, takes a weird spill and tumbles into the boards. I guess a wrist injury. Is he okay? Is he going to be able to give it a go tomorrow night?
Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be back in tomorrow night. Yeah.
Looked like he was going to throw up when he fell down.
Yeah, and Sam Rosen was funny. He's like, he doesn't look well at all.
No, he didn't look well. It was really unexpected. It was kind of a freak thing. But the good news is he'll be back. It was short-lived, and he'll be back for tomorrow night.
Coach, last one for me. And I just, you know, reading the article about the Washington Capitals, you know, hanging out with each other in hotel rooms. I mean, that was, I mean, on the list of my favorite things to do as a professional athlete, like those times getting to hang with the boys, hot stoving it up, were my favorite times. How difficult has it been with the COVID protocols and everything else to kind of build that team camaraderie, that team chemistry that you need?
Yes, well, we haven't been on the road yet, so we're going to find out. We've got an 8-day trip coming up, so it's certainly going to be challenging because, like you said, Ricky, it's you know, that's the best part of being on the road. You get to spend some time with your teammates, you know, whether it be within the meal room or within each other's rooms, and, you know, it's a great time to be on the road, and it certainly gives you an opportunity to create a deeper sense of bonding and team togetherness. So, you know, you've got to understand these unique circumstances. You got to adhere to the protocol. We're certainly on top of our guys doing it. They've done a good job policing themselves. There's only so much we can do because we only have so much time with them. Yep. But they've got to make sure that they're disciplined and understand what's at stake. Every decision you make, not just what decision you make on the ice, but the decisions you make away from the rink are going to go a long way in winning and losing. And these guys have to understand that. And, you know, so far guys have done a good job, but when you get on the road, it's a little bit more challenging because we're actually going to have a day off in between our games in Pittsburgh. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of downtime, and they've got to do a good job managing it and understanding what's at stake.
All right. Well, Coach, listen, we appreciate it. Good luck this weekend. Have your way with Pittsburgh, and we'll talk to you next week.
That's the plan. That's the plan. All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Of course, David Quinn, David Quinn Report, powered by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains can make your dreams of owning a luxury vehicle a reality. Stop in or they'll come to you for an at-home test drive. You can visit pepeautogroup.com to shop all their luxury brands, and the Macallan Double Cask 12-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey, the perfect balance of American and European sherry season oak casks. Two worlds, one Macallan, imported by Edrington Americas. Please enjoy responsibly. Now, before we kind of dissect what he had to say and get to a SportsCentery, it's giveaway time, people. Super Bowl 55 is right around the corner, and when it's game day, there's a Bud Light right there waiting for you.
That's BudLight.com. Slash delivery.
And that's why 98.7 ESPN and Bud Light are giving away a home gating prize package, including a 50-inch television, pellet grill, cornhole set, Pong table, Yeti cooler, and more. We'll be qualifying listeners in the 7 o'clock hour every day through Friday, January 29th, when we announce our grand prize winner of over $2,000 worth of Super Bowl home gating gear. To qualify, you'll need the keyword announced in the 5 o'clock hour of yesterday's Michael Kay Show. So if you know yesterday's keyword, be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN. You'll score an Amazon Echo Dot and qualify to win the home gating with Bud Light grand prize. It's all from Bud Light. Find a Bud Light at your local beer retailer or locate a delivery retailer at BudLight.com/delivery. And the smartest station in the game, 98.7 ESPN, to listen on your smart speakers, just say play 98.7 ESPN.
I have to make sure, like, I have to, like, RJ needs to tell me when that's going to happen, because I have to make sure I go to the bathroom before the segment we're going to do that in. Every time I hear that, it makes me...
What, you hear that pouring of the beer?
Yes.
It makes you have to go?
It makes me think about it. Like, oh my God, good thing I don't have to go. Otherwise, there'd be a real problem.
Especially really?
I have gray sweatpants on. Well, you start peeing gray sweatpants, forget about
Santi,
it.
Santi, can you play it again?
No, don't do that to me, please. No.
That's BudLight.com. Oh, slash stream. Delivery.
Just stream right from the tap. Right?
That doesn't give you the urge. Stop. Tell me that doesn't give you the urge.
No, it doesn't.
No. Not a child. No.
If I was in the Cross Bronx right now and that came on, forget it. It's a problem. No way I'm getting to the Poland Spring Bottle.
Well, just being on the Cross Bronx in general is a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big time problem. Santi, give it to me one more time. Let's see if it really does work.
That's BudLight.com slash delivery.
Yeah, just hear it just pouring right out. Oh, yeah. Just open yourself up.
Easy. What? Excuse me?
Let it go.
Easy now.
Let it go. Easy. All right, SportsCentery time, boys. Kyrie Irving returns for the Nets, scoring 37. Not enough. I wonder what that music does for you. As the Nets fall to the Cavaliers on the road in double overtime, 147-135. KD, 38 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists in the loss. James Harden, he triple-doubles, 21, 12, and 10 boards. But it was all about Colin Sexton last night. He poured home 42 for the Cavs. Knicks back in action tonight on the West Coast. It's a late game against the Warriors. Coverage begins at 98.7 ESPN at 9:30, 10 o'clock tip-off. Might as well be 3 in the morning for us. Islanders and Devils square off at 7 o'clock. It's a game you can hear on 10:50 a.m. tonight. Coverage for that one at 6:30. Alexander Ovechkin and three other Capitals on the COVID-19 absence list as the Caps were fined $100,000 for violating health and safety protocols. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes still in concussion protocol but was able to walk through in practice yesterday. Michael Brantley and the Astros agree on a two-year, $32 million deal, and Jay Happ headed to Minnesota to join the Twins on a one-year deal. That is according to our Jeff Passan. So, we got to see Brooklyn last night. It was the first time these big three had played together, and it was the concern that we've all had, guys. And 800-919-3776 to get into Brooklyn and what they were. Defensively, let's not, you know, call it what it's not. It was abysmal last night against an offense which is not very good. You made Colin Sexton look like the greatest player in the NBA. Defensively, you were abysmal last night if you're Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, in overtime, there was a stretch where Colin Sexton scored 20 straight points. Like, at some point, you have to be able to slow him down or you got to try to force somebody else to beat you. And it's clear that the Nets defensively, they don't have a handle on things. So that's a big thing that they've got to get figured out. But I think the biggest thing is just the chemistry and how all three of those guys are going to work together. Because last night in that game, Steve Nash, James Harden, and KD, they made it a point to get Kyrie Irving the ball early and often. They're clearly concerned in terms of how he feels or how he's being received or the perception of that from his eyes. And I just think that as this thing goes along, they're going to have to get past that, and everybody's going to have to accept their role.
I mean, as far as talent is concerned and accolades are concerned, I mean, you could put this big three up with any of the big threes.
Ever.
It's just how do these three pieces fit? Like, are these three pieces giving you the best chance to win a championship? And I don't know if that's going to be the case. I mean, even, like, talent-wise, scoring-wise, I mean, go back to, I mean, KD, Steph, and Clay. I mean, that was still one of the better defensive teams in the NBA, right?
Well, Clay Thompson's an elite defender.
And Durant's a good defender.
And Draymond Green is an elite defender.
Steph was the one you tried to hide.
But I think you can get away with having one of those guys not be a plus defender. When you have multiple guys that are not plus defenders, you start to run into some trouble.
Well, and there's the issue. There's the issue. Because I don't know. I mean, watching that game last night, as good as those three were, I felt like the offense looked better in the two games without Kyrie than it looked yesterday.
The offense looked better, and then the bench obviously was a lot better because you had more talent. You had more depth. And that's also going to be a concern as we go along because all of those guys, they were over 40 minutes. And we're talking about just the time in regulation. So, I mean, that part of it has to be a concern because you don't want one of these guys to get hurt and jeopardize your chance to compete for a championship. So, Steve Nash, the Nets organization, they're going to have to figure out some issues. And I know they've got the open roster spots, but they got to get some more bodies that Steve Nash trusts in the rotation. Otherwise, I mean, it's going to be hard for these guys not to run out of gas at the end.
They ran out of the gas in game one, right? I mean, last night they had nothing left. Now, it's unforeseen. You don't expect to play two overtimes and go an extra 10
minutes. Well, conditioning right now for James Harden and Kyrie, like, we knew that was going to be a work in progress, right? Like, yeah. None of those guys came into the season in great shape, and Kyrie's been away from the team for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think they're going to win plenty of games, but I mean, I don't think their main focus right now is
doesn't matter is what they do in the regular season. They could go undefeated the rest of the regular season, and it will make no difference. All that matters about this team is what they do in the playoffs. That's it.
Exactly right. In finding a way to fill those three roster spots with, you know, whoever it takes to put you in the best position when, you know, you get to the postseason. When
you've
got to defend a
Joel
Embiid.
Play. I mean, guys that can give you 10, 12, 14 minutes a game. Because you really, last night, in 50 minutes of basketball, really only played six guys.
That's it. That's a problem, Dave.
You can't have that.
No.
You can't have that. Look, we all accidentally damage our phones. That kind of thing happens. Now, Straight Talk Wireless's new Platinum Unlimited plan includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, data, and more. See Mobile Protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/Straight Talk. Limitations and exclusions do, in fact, apply. Let's go to D in the car. D, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
What's up, guys? Look, from the beginning, everyone knew, before James Harden was a thing, that Kyrie was going to be the issue. And here it is, Kyrie's the issue. Like, he's been everywhere he's been, he's either been hurt or the problem. And as for James Harden, people said he was going to be a problem. What he said about Houston is true. They're garbage. You know, John Wall's hurt. You know, DeMarcus Cousins looks done. I mean, he was right to try to get out of it. He's like, why am I wasting my career? This bum franchise, you know? And there's another issue going on with the other Houston team, but you guys are not talking football, so whatever.
Oh, we know. And hopefully that situation in Houston in the football leads to us getting Deshaun Watson here in New York.
No,
fingers crossed. I would
impressed
love
that. That doesn't happen, by the way.
I know, and I got to see pictures. I mean, I was looking through, you know, some Twitter stuff and everything. I got to see pictures and Deshaun wearing the Jets uniform, getting me all excited.
Dave, I don't know about you, Dave, but I don't want that to happen.
Deshaun with the Jets?
No, I don't want it to happen.
I kind of would like that.
No, I know what you're saying. I don't want it to happen because I would feel like the Jets are in a better place than the Giants.
Well, they would be.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't want it to happen.
Yeah, no,
something
I
about being
that.
Able to call the Jets little brother, it feels good.
Yeah, we'd be the little brother that just won the lottery. Yes. Speaking of lottery, make sure you buy your tickets, by the way, for tomorrow.
Big lottery tickets. Coming tomorrow?
Was that a fake question or was that a serious question?
No, it's a serious question because I'm unaware. I do not know.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you mean it's a fake question? You think I know everything going on in the world?
The Mega, it's $970 million.
That's a lot of money.
Come on, boys.
Let's let the lack of
So it's about as much as KD, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving have.
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah. Pretty close.
Mike in Islip. Mikey, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. The 5 a.m. thing is not actually as bad as I anticipated it being. I've been waking up with you every morning now.
Nice.
Which I wouldn't have done before. So kudos to, I guess, all of us on that one.
So you have changed your sleep patterns based on the show.
Correct. I've actually been going to work earlier, too, which works out. I sell craft beer, so it works out quite nicely.
So I love craft beers. We buoyed you to more success in life with our earlier start.
Yeah, it's worked out quite well, actually. I appreciate it.
We're here for you. What do you got, Mike?
So I originally called with an NFL question, but RJ was nice enough to let me shift so I could actually get on the show because I've been on hold for a while. Do you guys think that the Nets will be able to out-firepower some of these other teams? Like, I feel like the Lakers have so much offensive power, and with the little bit of defense they'll be able to offer against the Nets. Do you think that'll you know, cause the Nets some trouble down the road?
Yes.
Yeah, as constituted, I don't think the Nets can beat the Lakers.
I think the Nets could have their hands full with Philly, too, to be honest. The way Joel Embiid's playing right now.
But he says, can they out-firepower team? I think the answer to that is also yes. I think that they can, and
yes,
I think they will a lot.
Not a team like the Lakers, though.
No. I agree with that. But, I mean, that's getting to the top of the mountain.
Sure. Yeah.
On their rise up the mountain, can they beat teams 130 to 120?
Yes.
I think the answer to that is yes, they probably can. Mike in Toms River. Mike, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the morning. You guys are doing great.
Thanks.
One big Nets fan, one big positive watching the first game, even though obviously it didn't end well. The things that they kind of struggled with are things that kind of come with playing together for a while. The offense actually messed pretty well with them passing the ball to each other. It was a lot of defensive switches, a lot of turnovers. So I think it was a pretty positive first time seeing them all offensively together. Obviously, just need to right some things over time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess the positive was that, I mean, you know, all three looked pretty good, and it seemed like James Harden was, you know, was fine with trying to get Kyrie, you know, involved early in that game and kind of take a back seat, just kind of distribute. But I mean, watching that game, I don't know that it meshed great. I didn't think the offense looked as good as it did in the first two games.
Yeah, I think it looked better with those two than it did, in fact, with the three last night. And they were trying. Like, they were doing everything within their power to get Kyrie Irving involved early in that game. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Quick, Drew in Mount Vernon. Drew, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Long-time fan, first time calling.
Appreciate
so on the Nets
it, Drew.
Last night, what the Nets showed you last night is there's more to the game than step backs and crossovers and fadeaways and all that fancy stuff. You know, when you saw what LeBron did with that Miami Heat team a couple years ago, they had to fight and scratch and claw for everything. They were down 0-1, 2-1, 3-2, back against the wall, on the road. You have to run in transition. You got to fight for offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, diving on the floor for loose balls. There's a lot that goes into winning championships. And real quick on the Jets situation, don't worry about how many draft picks it takes to get Deshaun Watson, whatever it is you traded. Speaking as a Giants fan personally, I'll give you Baker, Apple, Flowers, Odell, Saquon, Jones, whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson. And one last thing on Eli and Phil. Phil, you're lucky. You play in sunny San Diego at 70 degrees. There's no wind. 4 o'clock on the Eastern time. I'm taking a nap. Nobody cares.
No, so that's not true. Come on. Don't disparage him. That's not fair. And I know what you're thinking, Rick. You're thinking to yourself, look what he's done. He's painted himself into a corner. He doesn't have time for three stars. I've planned it perfectly. Like a Michelangelo of the three stars.
Look at you, Rothenberg.
And here they go.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Star number three goes to the great Burt Reynolds, who starred with many more athletes than we ever gave him credit for. Better answer probably would have been Michael Irvin in the Longest Yard remake with Adam Sandler.
Number two.
Shout out to Philip Rivers on a Hall of Fame career. Adding some fuel for the debate, the great quarterback class of 2004. They'll all get in, and it's a good talking point. So congratulations to him.
Number one.
Number one's going to be the D-line train running through Brooklyn because, as last night showed us, for the foreseeable future, that's the only D that's going to be in Brooklyn for the next few months.
Well done.
Well done, very, Santiago. Well done.
That's right. His big contribution to the show and very well done.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.